All right, my friends, we are on 24A. We're on Chaf Dalet Amud Aleph. And I'll open up with a question. It's a rhetorical question. We'll actually address it tonight. Can you make a sukkah out of a golem?
Out of
The
a
Gemara
what?
just out of a golem, you know, the Maral Miprag, you mean the right, the clay. So can you make a sukkah out of a golem? So that's not a question addressed directly in the Gemara. But it's something that gets raised from a discussion in the Gemara that we'll see presently. So let's jump into it. So just to reiterate what we learned last time, there is a machlokus between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir about whether something which is whether we're concerned for something dying. So there's machlokus whether an animal could be used as the wall of the sukkah. And one of the reasons that was attributed to Rabbi Meir for not being concerned is that Rabbi Meir, sorry, why Rabbi Meir is concerned is because animals could possibly die. So that's the problem. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda is lo chayesh lemi, so Rabbi Yehuda is not concerned that it will die. So we pick up on the fourth line of Chaf Dalet Amud Aleph. Kashid Rabbi Meir ad Rabbi Meir. There seems to be, this is what we learned at the end of last year, a contradiction in Rabbi Meir. That Rabbi Meir basically, we had a case in Truma about someone kind of Shabbos came and he couldn't actually separate Truma, he couldn't separate Maaseiros. So what he did was he kind of separated everything vocally, but then point being is Rabbi Meir was not concerned that the kli that was holding all the food would break, yet he is concerned that something could, that an animal could die. And Rabbi Yehuda is the opposite issue. Rabbi Yehuda is concerned that the kli might break, but he's not concerned an animal will die. So point being is, there's inconsistency that Rabbi Meir seems concerned in one place for a small possibility, not in the other place. And likewise with Rabbi Yehuda. So how do we resolve this? So Amar lacha Rabbi Meir, Misa shchicha, b'kiyasa no lo shchicha. It is commonplace for something can die. But you could prevent a flask from breaking. How so? Efshar de maser leila shomer. If you have someone guard the flask that it doesn't break, it won't die. Whereas death, even though we have medicine and we have ways to help people, that's something that's a little bit more out of human control. So that's how we resolve Rabbi Meir, why Rabbi Meir is concerned for death, because death is something that's not as clearly within human hands. Whereas preventing something from breaking, if you have someone responsible, watch after it, they could protect it. So that's how we resolve Rabbi Meir. Kashya to Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda. So now Rabbi Yehuda is the opposite issue. Rabbi Yehuda is concerned that a flask might break, but he's not concerned that the animal, which is the wall of a sukkah, might die. He's okay with an animal being the wall of a sukkah. So how do we resolve the seeming contradiction in Rabbi Yehuda? So time at Rabbi Yehuda, la mishum dechayish b'kiyas hanod, al mishum deleis le breira. So Rabbi Yehuda actually fundamentally is not concerned that the node will break, but rather, I don't want to get too into the weeds of this, but there was a concept we learned last time called breira. Breira basically is pause is stipulating something. The example we gave from a Gemara was that you have to predetermine who's going to be in your chabura, your group that's going to eat the Korban Pesach. So a father, you know, imagine, right? So you want the kids to come and visit. So you say, all right, well, whoever gets there first, you're the one who gets to join in and eat the Korban Pesach. So good incentive. You get the lamb chops. So the thing is, you have to pre-designate, but at the time of the Korban. So Brera basically is saying that I can stipulate, and basically that person was retroactively designated once we discover who actually shows up first. So similar idea here for technical reasons. He has an issue with saying, okay, this single bottle over here, part of it is truma, part of it is this, part of it is that, part of it's meiser, part of it is chulen. Well, the issue is you only know what is truma, what is meiser, once you finish, you know, eating from it or drinking from it, and whatever's left over, it becomes trumas and maaseros. But the time that you were eating or drinking from it, anything could have, in theory, been that truma and maaser. So it's only in the end of the day that whatever you leave in the bottle retroactively becomes trumas and maaseros. But Rabbi Yehuda, fundamentally across the board, is not concerned for small possibilities, right? We mentioned last thing, Rabbi Meir, we know throughout Shas, is Chai Shlemiuta. He is concerned for small possibilities and that we need to protect against even small possibilities of things happening. He would get the highest insurance policy possible if they had insurance back in the day, if you have to think about it. Rabbi Yehuda is the one who is a little bit more, is not as risk adverse as Rabbi Meir, right? Man, it'd be funny, you know, if they had like different portfolios that you can invest in, right, Irwin? Right, you'd have the ETFs or the mutual funds for the Rabbi Meir fund. You have the Rabbi Yehuda ones, the different kinds of, you know, who do you entrust with your finances? So this is kind of about risk aversion. But then we just try to clarify. Is Rabbi Yehuda's opposition due to a lack of subscribing to Breira? Or maybe it's what we originally thought it was. Maybe Rabbi Yehuda, is concerned even for small possibilities of things going awry. How do we see this? Bahamidik Tani Seifa, because if we go back to that discussion, Amrul Rabbi Meir, they contended with Rabbi Meir. They said, Yatamoda Shema Yifka Hanod, Beninzeze Shosetzva Lemafreya. Are you not concerned, Rabbi Meir, that the node, that the flask will break? And then basically, if there's no Trumas and Maizes left in the flask, everything spills out. Then Lemafreya, retroactively, you ate Tevel. You ate something that Trumas and Maizes wasn't separated from. But Amar Lehu, Yifka, when it breaks, that will be a problem. Rabbi Meir rejected it out of hand. But we could assume, because the counterclaim to Rabbi Meir was, you should be concerned that the flask might break, that would, excuse me, that would indicate to us and implies that the opposition side is concerned for the chance that the flask might break. So that sounds like Rabbi Yehuda actually is concerned. That brings back to square one. So what's the answer? Hasam Rabbi Yehuda to come or Rabbi Meir, right? Rabbi Yehuda is basically saying, Rabbi Meir, you are inconsistent. Lididi leisli breira. For me, the issue here is that I don't hold of breira. That's why I can't do this whole trick. Ela lididach diyesh breira. But I'm saying, even according to you, who does hold that breira is a mechanism that can be employed here, yata moda the shema yifka hanod amar lei lishe yifka. That's where he basically asked Rabbi Meir. He says, Rabbi Meir, lishitascha, within your own reasoning, you're inconsistent. But I am not concerned for small eventualities. I just don't hold that you can use Bray right here. The point being is that we can conclude at this point that we can come back to what we held originally. This is all just to basically substantiate where we started from the beginning of this journey. Rabbi Meir is concerned for small eventualities like death. Rabbi Yehuda is not concerned for small eventualities like death suddenly occurring. So an interesting point I'll share with you. Actually, you know, let's do one more piece of Gemara, and then I'll share with you this idea. V'lo chayish Rabbi Yehuda lemisa. Is it true that Rabbi Yehuda is not concerned for the eventuality of death occurring soon thereafter? But not Rabbi Yehuda Omer af isha acheres maskinan lo shema tamus ishto. This is the Mishnah at the beginning of Yoma. At the beginning of Yoma, it says that the Kohen Gadol, they basically have like a wife on backup because he says he has to be mechaber ba'adova ad beiso. He has to be mechaber. What's ba'ad beiso for his house? The house made by Isela Isha that refers to his wife. So they would have a backup wife for him possibly. But Rabbi Yehuda says, so Rabbi Yehuda says you have to have a backup wife. But Itmar Amar Afuna Bereis Rabbi Yeshua Mala Asu Bekapara. Rabbi Yehuda holds in general that you don't need to worry and set up a backup wife in case the Kohen Gadol's wife dies in Kippur and then he's invalid to do the service. Rather, it's that because the stakes are so high when it comes to the Yom Kippur service, we go out of our way to be concerned even for the smallest thing occurring. But generally, we don't need to be worried about that. Okay, very good. Next part of the Gemara. Bein l'man damar shema tamus, bein l'man damar shema tivrach, midoraisa, sorry. So we come. Let's go back to Rabbi Meir now. So Rabbi Meir, we said, the way we got into this discussion was Rabbi Meir said, that you cannot use an animal as the wall of your sukkah. So we posited two different understandings of why that's true. Whether one reason was the animal might run away, the other reason was maybe the animal will die. But either way, these are just gezeiros midrabanan. Fundamentally, they would work. Rabbi Meir titma mishum golel alamatan Rabbi Huda mitam mishum golel right Rabbi Meir mitahir. The question is though, one of the things Rabbi Meir said was that an animal will not have the tumah of being a golel, a covering to a grave. But if this is true, that an animal is a real mechitza on a d'oraisa on a biblical level, why does it not count to cover a grave and to become tameh in that way on a d'oraisa level? So rather, the Gemara gives two different understandings in Rabbi Meir, what he has against animals on a biblical level. Either any mechitza that needs to be like inflated, whether it means spiritually inflated or literally with wind, is not a real mechitza. Ikeda Amri, Amar Avacha Bar Yaakov, Kesavu Rabbi Meir, Kol mechitza sheinasu bidei adam ein mechitza. Any mechitza that's not made by man, meaning a naturally made wall or mechitza, is not a true mechitza. It needs to be artificially made. Now, what's the difference between these two approaches? Mai beinayu, ika beinayu. Here's the difference. So ukma but no tapuach. Let's say you inflate your wall. So if it's inflated, lama damar mechitza omedes baruach in mechitza hari omedes baruach. If it's inflated, well, then it is not standing up on its own. It has air that was pumped into it. But lama damar ina as right now be the issue with an animal because the animal has a spirit. I guess has some sort of soul or life force that's upholding it. But here, if the issue is that it's not artificial, this is artificial. You artificially pumped something up and made it into a usable mechitza. Sorry, hatsuya bidei adam. So what's really interesting that I want to share with you from Shlomo Zalman Auerbach is a golem. Can a golem serve as a wall of a mechitza? Well, it depends, right? So is a golem considered man-made or is it God-made? So Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says that it depends how you understand the spiritual metaphysical mechanics of a golem. So on the one hand, some Kabbalist comes in and does his incantations and magic, whatever, and makes a golem. But actually, the way he explains it is, habori asa ratzon. It's not that the Kabbalist has inherent magic powers that he creates a golem, but he does some sort of prayer to God, and then God is the one who animates the golem. Ah, so if it's not man-made, if it's God-made, it can't work as a mechitza for sukkah and other purposes, according to Rabbi Meir. But if you say a golem is man-made through some intrinsic magical powers, then it could be used for a mechitza. So I thought that was like a really funny takeaway that Shlomo Zalman Auerbach brings up. It's not mine. This is Shlomo right over here. But you can't see it because I blurred the background. But take my word for it. That's Shlomo Zalman Auerbach's point on the Gemara. So we have a machlokas if an animal could be used for a wall. Rabbi Meir says no, but would Rabbi Meir be okay using a golem? Well, when you find a golem one day, you'll ask your local Orthodox rabbi and he'll give you a psak on that matter. How about that? Toby, you had a question?
Yeah, and this is not on Rabbi Meir, but rather on Rabbi Yehuda. Would he think that it's okay for a human being to be a wall?
Oh, because maybe he'll die, you're saying.
Yeah.
Well, Rabbi Yehuda is the one who's not concerned.
No. For whoever thinks that an animal could be, would they also think that a human being could be?
In fact, that we've brought that up. So according to
Oh.
that opinion, a human could for sure work. I think the question goes the other way. If you're concerned an animal might die, what about a human might die?
Right.
So yes, that might be a consistent point. I agree. I think it would be consistent on it. All right.
What a way to earn a living.
Yeah, definitely. All right. I think it's my turn with that time. Wonderful learning together. And if anyone asks what you learned about this week, you learned about if you can make a sukkah out of a golem. So that should be a fun conversation starter, guys.
So thank
Okay. Take care. Wishing you all a wonderful Shabbos.
you. You too.